chicken fried, and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio.
And, you know, I had an incredible response the other day. I had a constituent had a problem with the VA. The VA was not getting them their replacement dentures and kept on getting denial. And Mary Beth in the office took handle of the issue, and now the fellow's walking around with a brand new set of teeth. So, I mean, sometimes you just need a hunting guide in order to be able to navigate some of the challenges our federal agencies propose to you. And it's sad that you've got to do that, but this is what we're here for.
That's what a congressman is there for. As Jim Petronis told Bobby Rossi last week when I was out, he said, you know, constituent services, that's our game, baby. We're here to help. That's why he took the billboards out and put all that information up. And he, you know, actually wants you to contact him on the phone, on the, you know, the website, whatever the case may be. Joining us now, the aforementioned Congressman Jimmy Petronis. Jimmy, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And that's the case, right? Like, you always think of the congressman as the person who's there to, you know, pass laws and wrangle and argue and get on the media. But really, you know, at its base, your job is to represent people and help them, you know, navigate the sometimes very complex federal bureaucracy, including the VA, right?
Yeah, look, I think there's different types of members of Congress. There's show horses and workhorses, and both of them are important in the role of the process. But I'm more of a workhorse. You know, I like taking care of the customer, you know, and sometimes, look, it is what it is. I may not know the right answer, but, you know, I make sure I've got great people around me that have been in this process of navigating. I mean, look, you got to speak bureaucrat. And sometimes speaking bureaucrat is the way we get problems solved. And, you know, it takes all types. But, you know, I appreciate folks that do reach out to us that allow us to share some of their happy endings of where the government has, you know, misfired, and we ultimately got them back on track.
No doubt. And I am, I'm a big fan of a lot of different, like, work-life experiences make you a better whatever it is. And I have long believed that, you know, having worked in customer service as a retail, you know, like Blockbuster Video, being a waiter, you owned a restaurant. I know D.C. Reeves ran a bar and owned a bar. And, you know, like, that makes you think a different way about the business and product of government than if you've never had those kind of jobs before. And so I love seeing that in the way you approach this particular job. Let's talk about you had a kind of a town hall about a week or so ago. What came out of that? What'd you learn?
So we had, I think, almost 6,000 people on the call. And, you know, and what was, like, one of the side effects that hit me with the town hall that I did not expect, but we had an elderly man on the phone who made the comment at the end. He says, look, he says, thank you for doing it this way. He says, I wouldn't have participated otherwise. So, I mean, there's definitely some upside to leveraging technology with a virtual town hall where we can have thousands of people on the phone all the time. We had every phone in our office was answering the phones because people would push *9, and it's kind of like raising their hand to be able to ask a question, or *3. So then they would ask the question, we would get them in the queue. But you know what's so crazy is when we do that, it's a very tight structure because the House administration kind of dictates how we have to do it. So it's almost like running a radio show. You know, you have to take a break and do station identifiers. A lot of that same stuff takes place in the town hall. So anyway, it was very productive. I got a lot out of it. I learned a lot out of it. And, you know, more to come. We appreciate the folks participating in the town hall.
I think one of the things that maybe, I don't know if you were hoping for, but, you know, might have gotten out of it. I know you filed this PROTECT Act to eliminate Section 230. That's the one that basically allows social media companies to operate as if they are not publishers with all, they get to be publishers with all the immunities as if they're not publishers. It's a crazy system.
Yeah.
But, you know, talking to the constituents and, like you say, talking to staffers in your office and hearing people's stories, did you get, I don't know, fodder, information, perspective, things you can tell your fellow legislators about this?
Yeah, look, I mean, we've got some co-sponsors to the bill, but anything that you if you're on the committee of reference of where that bill goes through, you definitely are going to have some extra influence on the chairman to get the bill agended. So this bill would go through Brett Guthrie's committee. But the great thing about Brett Guthrie has been vacationing in Northwest Florida for with his family for gosh, 40 years. So, you know, he knows this is something that I'm passionate about. But being able to get some ownership from those in the district is very important to me because, look, I'm trying to earn your trust. At the same time, this is something that I'm very passionate about, and I want buy-in from the people I represent that this is something they care about.
I know the sort of big news of the day is the Save America Act and the Iran War, and we will get to that. But I want to make sure that we don't run out of time and I don't ask you this question because it's been on people's minds here for years. Years ago, the state actually made the move to request permanent daylight time. Rick Scott was governor at the time. Rick Scott is now in the Senate. Of course, Ashley Moody is in the Senate. And before that, we had Marco Rubio. And, you know, the senators have been on board with this. But the way I understand this process works is you got to have a sponsor on both sides. And, you know, your predecessor, Matt Gaetz, did not care about this issue, did not want to take up this issue. You're willing to take up this issue, I think. And so now kind of what's the holdup? It seemed like that was the key piece we're waiting for, was somebody in the House to take it up. Where are we on this?
So Greg Stube has it in the House. He is a member of Congress out of the Sarasota, Charlotte County area. So he's got it in the House. Rick Scott's got it in the Senate. And, you know, it's the lock the clock. You know, we don't change the clock, bouncing back and forth. Again, unsuccessful so far, but it definitely, as you come to spring forward, it definitely brings a lot of attention to the policy. You know, I believe I was a co-sponsor of the Stube bill. I'm pretty sure I was, because I know I'm a big believer in locking the clock. I hate the springing back and forth and what it does to our clocks and our routines. And, I mean, State Arizona said, you know, go pound sand. They don't observe it. So, you know, I don't quite understand why we just don't, you know, tell them to go pound sand, do the same thing at a state level. But I think that's probably a DeSantis decision.
Yeah, no, I hope we do. I would love to see it happen. And we could be the anti-Arizona because they're permanent standard time, if I remember correctly. And then we could be permanent daylight time, and that would make me super happy.
That's right. That's right.
The Iran war, you know, obviously there's a lot of complexity here, a lot of things going on. But it looks to me now like we've got 22 or 3 partner nations that are at least worked up enough because they're worried about the, you know, the medium range or what the Israelis are calling an ICBM that, you know, struck towards Diego Garcia. And now all the European people are like, oh, hey, what? This is about us, too. Plus the Strait of Hormuz, that they seem to be willing to come on board. But, man, I'll tell you, the instability, the uncertainty, the negotiations with the who's he talking to, there's a lot of questions. What people want to know, the main thing people want to know is this going to work with us and partners, or are we honestly looking at some kind of a ground participation, you know, ground troops of some kind with Iran?
I think the ground participation is the last resort, but I tell you, if ground participation takes place, then I know this president well enough that he will seize control of the strait, and then he will find a way to monetize it for the benefit of Americans. So, I mean, watch what you wish for. Because I'm a big believer that if he does go in, he'll go in and just he'll carpet bomb, you know, the Iranian side of operations, and then it'll become fortified and he'll take it over. So I mean, I think there's, unfortunately, Israel has done such an aggressive job of just mopping up the leadership of Iran. I think the president's probably struggling to probably try to find somebody who's a credible decision maker to negotiate with, but. Seems like there has been some notes being passed back and forth, and I'm sure that the president's going to be using a third-party nation in order to do that, to try to find a way to, you know, guys, you know, no more nukes. You know, if I have any weapons to threaten the region, we're going to, you know, we're sick and tired of Ukraine's instability in the global economy because of the policies that you prescribe to, and you know, as even the president said, other former U.S. presidents have reached out to him and told him, you know what, I wish I'd have done what you just did. So, I mean, it's, and there's definitely some inside baseball to it, but, you know, I still trust the president, his decision-making on this.
Yeah, the tone shift from a couple of days ago to, like, even the Sunday shows with the NATO Secretary General was obvious. You know, all of a sudden, you got a 2,500-mile radius attack zone. And suddenly NATO's interested in this little conflict that they were previously pretty lukewarm about. So, which, I mean, makes sense. Plus their oil, you know, getting threatened. You're working on a thing, the Save for Success Act. This exists or this is something that you're trying to make happen? Can you maybe explain to people what this is? It's kind of cool.
Yeah, so this is a good friend of mine brought this idea to me. Right now, some of the parents on the show listening in have a 529 plan for their kid. That's like a mutual fund that you can invest money in, and it can be pre-tax dollars to help offset your child's college expenses. Well, if you're a Floridian, I like leveraging Florida laws by changing federal law. So what I'm trying to do is right now that 529 money that you've put money aside for your child can only be used for education purposes. We want to create some flexibility and allow those dollars to be used for mortgage assistance, down payment assistance, first-time homebuyer. So now let's say you've got a great kid, kept his nose clean, leveraged bright futures, you know, graduated from a state university, and now we hope to keep them in the state of Florida. And let's say they got $5,000-$6,000 in this 529 account because we're able to leverage scholarships and other, you know, Florida-backed solutions. Now they can use that money to help offset to buy their first home. So, again, I think home ownership is the best force for good. And this is just me, you know, trying to use a pencil and eraser and change a little bit of federal law to allow, you know, Florida families to have a little more relief when it comes to buying that first home.
I mean, I know it's not quite this, but I also love the idea. We get so accustomed to California innovate something and then everybody else is supposed to copy it. Hey, Florida does pretty good at figuring stuff out.
Oh,
maybe we can get some of those things federalized as well. Hey, last thing, I know it's on everybody's mind right now, the ongoing fight over DHS funding, TSA funding in particular. They're working without pay right now. You know, bringing the ICE folks in to help, you know, man the doors while the TSA folks are running the screeners, that actually makes a lot of sense to me because we need bodies. But, you know, I think the overlooked part about all this is, hey, there's people doing their job and wondering about pay right now, right?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, right now, New Orleans, I think they had a call-out rate of about 43% today. So there's definitely markets that are really struggling because TSA agents are not getting paid. And they're not quitting in protest and not showing up and working protest. They got bills to pay.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just the rule of numbers. Some TSA agents are maybe two income households and they've got the ability to kind of weather the storm, but others maybe a single family out income. And you know what? They're doing gig jobs or Uber or something else. And, you know, we prohibit them from having second jobs. There's some things at the federal government level that I've learned that really make no sense whatsoever. But it is what it is. If you're not getting paid, you have to find income from somewhere else. So calling in sick may be a convenient excuse in order to actually have a side hustle to make some money just to take care of your family. And the Democrats are being real knuckleheads about this. It's so frustrating. But, you know, the president is masterclass on this as he rolled out ICE agents to check IDs and secure doorways and exit ways. These are things that don't require the training of looking at an X-ray, you know, examination machine.
Yeah, it's bouncing, not pat downs. I mean, you know, it's something that anybody with a little basic law enforcement or less can do effectively. Jimmy Petronas, he is our congressman for Northwest Florida District 1. As always, Jimmy, thanks for being so available. I know you had some travel stuff yesterday. We couldn't make it work, but look forward to talking to you again next Monday. As always, thank you for the time, sir. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Andrew. See you, John. Bye-bye.